Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
What's up, everyone? Freddy the Pizza Man here, host of the Pizza Man podcast. Now joining forces with ChristopherMedia.net. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, the Pizza Man podcast. And, of course, find all the podcasts on ChristopherMedia.net. We talk Detroit sports. I bring on guests, passions, opinions, all for Detroit sports and more. We even talk pizza. So thanks for tuning in and spread the word.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Welcome to Beer Nuts number 94. My name is Chris.
JR here in the house.
Uncle Pete.
Dugout.
All right. It's the wheat beer episode. So, yeah, wheat. Woo-hoo. I mean, I find it just ironic because I'm in cornfield country, so we're gonna do wheat beer. There's two different styles that we're actually talking about before the show. There's American wheat beers and what, German wheat beers, guys, or Hefeweizens.
German Hefeweizens.
Yep. There's Belgian wheat beers. There's French wheat beers. They're all across the globe. Many of them really different and unique from each other.
I think most of the beers we're reviewing tonight will be German Hefeweizen or Hefeweizen styles and American wheats. I know we did a Belgian wit beer. Uncle Pete brought one on the last episode for Belgians. I don't think anybody has a French, and I know Doug's got something on a completely different direction that we'll keep for a surprise. So speaking of Dugout, let's go ahead and go to him for tonight's quote of the week.
Okay, the quote comes from Tony Magee from Lagunitas Brewery. Said, beer speaks, people mumble.
And let's get ready to rumble. I mean, mumble. Let's get ready to mumble.
After last week's episode, I was definitely mumbling.
Yeah, last week, those Belgians had us mumbling at the end of that. But, you know, it's a week later, we've recovered. So anyway, so we are going to start with a German, a traditional German Hefeweizen, and Uncle Pete actually came up with the idea to do this episode. We were hoping that by this time of year, you know, wheat beers are nice and light and nice for the warmer weather, but old man spring has just decided not to show up, so we're still dealing with winter weather in the Michigan and the Detroit area anyway, so...
I don't know what happened in spring, but in the middle, I'm currently in the middle of a snowstorm. So, yeah, it's, you know,
there you go.
April 17th. You know, how about 3 inches of snow?
Jeez, well, we had hoped this would find, like, baseball weather. You know, baseball, wheat beer is perfect for ball game, nice warm weather out, and nice quenching. Refreshing wheat beer is good. A nice light wheat beer that you can have a few of them. But, you know, without further ado, let's just have Uncle Pete introduce us to the first beer of the night, because I'm thirsty. Uncle Pete?
Okay, let's get this party started. Start the mumbling. Okay, I've got a German Hefeweizen. This is an ale from Schneider and Son Brewery. John's going to pop the top for me. And this is an old brewery since 1872, I think it says. Maybe the print is too fine for my eyes. Yeah, it looks like 1872. Schneider and Son. This is called Schneider Weiss, which is Weiss means wheat in German. It's Schneider Weiss Tap 7 Original German Hefeweizen Ale. Comes in at a 5.4% alcohol, and I believe there may be some higher ABV Hefeweizens out there, wheat beers. But this is probably, you know, right in the right range, typical range in the 5% or so for this style. When you talk about the word Hefeweizen, Weizen is wheat. Hefe, it means with yeast. So it's a wheat beer with yeast, and we'll find out why here shortly. But this comes in a 1-pint bottle. kind of a real narrow bottle compared to our pint, you know, our size of bottles here in the States. Very dark brown bottle, so to protect the beer inside, keep it nice and dark and happy. And JR kept this nice and cold for me before we pulled it out, so we'll make sure we get a good cold taste of it here. So I'm going to pour up a little sample, pass it to JR, and take a look at it, and let's see, what do we got? Okay, got a light-colored beer here. There is some darkness to it, and I guess what I mean by that is it's kind of murky. You know, you can't see through it. So we've been drinking enough of these hazy IPAs, right? I would say if you stuck this next to one of these hazy IPAs, you'd get a similar look. But has a very, very bright white, nice thick head on it with very fine bubbles. And let me take a sniff on the aroma. Oh my, very aromatic. Very bready, toasty. I smell kind of a sweet smell, a sweet aromatic smell. Might be like, oh gosh, what would I say there? I don't know if it's toffee or bubblegum. Just a sweetness, kind of a fruitiness to it. Very pleasant though. I mean, I've had some of the Belgian beers I've had, I think, have had this similar aroma. Let's take a taste. Going very not alcoholic at all, and really no bitterness there. It's not, you know, intended to be a bitter beer. I get a nice malty caramel, and then a very nice sweetness to it with this kind of a banana-y flavor. What do you think, JR?
Yeah, definitely the esters are really prevalent in the aroma. Esters of banana and that little bubblegum, clove. You know, immediately you identify that with like either a Belgian or a German yeast. And really not much hop effect on this. It's not that bitter. It's more malty than bitter. Like you said, you know, Hefe means yeast and, you know, Weiss means wheat. And it's the yeast is the star of the show here. The wheat's just, you know, a nice, light, easy to drink. This is a thirst quencher here. Again, great for a ball game. But that German yeast really gives it a special character that right away you can identify that as a German style. But it's tasty. It's these beers are, you know, we get so caught up here with all the American palate is now, you know, it's all about the IPAs and the real bitter and the, you know, can't get enough hops in your beers. But you know, this, it's nice to go back. Again, we said this with the Belgian episode last week. Go back to the basics and enjoy a nice, solid, brewed-to-style wheat beer, especially this nice, you know, classic German one. It's one of the classics. And, you know, there's a reason that these guys have been brewing beer for, you know, hundreds of years. I mean, I think some of these breweries go back to, like, the 1300s over in Germany. So, you know, the Germans know what they're doing, and this is a real treat. And I'm really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's not a heavy body beer at all. It's very light bodied. It doesn't have like tons of character, but it does have a nice candy flavor to me. A very mild sweetness, and you know, it's again, as I say, probably every episode, but it's fun to try these styles that we don't spend a lot of time on. It's just this low-alcohol, sweet, aromatic beer with a light mouthfeel that's very well-carbonated, very finely carbonated with fine bubbles. It's not thick. It's not slippery. It's, you know, and it's cloudy, which is typical of the style with the yeast and suspension in this beer. If you look at these bottles on the shelf, you'll see a cake of yeast on the bottom of the bottles typically. I know this bottle, before I opened it, JR, I did turn it upside down and look at the cake, and, you know, a lot of it already dispersed into the beer. So I purposefully did that because I didn't want to pour the beer without any of the yeast coming out in it. So, but I love the flavors that it renders when you mix it up good and let that yeast come through.
Well, I'd like to read from the label, the description. This is Tap 7 Original, Schneider Weiss, Tap 7, the world-famous original wheat ale from Bavaria's oldest wheat beer brewery. Carefully selected ingredients, skilled fermentation in open vessels, as well as fermentation and maturation in the bottle, guarantee the distinctive taste of this authentic wheat ale. Schneider Weiss, G. Schneider & Sohn, Kelheim, Germany. So, yeah, very a lot of history to this beer. Bottle fermented, brewed according to the Rheinheitsgebot. It's all basic, pure ingredients. There's no gimmicks in this beer. It's all barley, wine, yeast, and water.
You know, I don't think it's as highly rated as some of the other authentic German Hefeweizen that you can have, whether it's a Weihestephaner's or Hackershore's. But it's up there. I think it's true to the style. It's pretty much what I expected when I bought this beer. And I do have German heritage. I've been to Germany a few times. I have sat in the German beer gardens and drank the authentic Hefeweizen right from the tap there. And a lot of people like to have these beers with a slice of citrus in it, whether it be lemon or orange. I tend to decline that. I like the flavor of the beer just as it is without introducing, you know, another strong piece of fruit to it. And but some people might like that because it is a light and refreshing beer. And you might see some of your friends or others when you're at your local brewery and they happen to have a Hefeweizen, and people like to pour with a slice of citrus.
And in keeping with our policy here, we're not pretentious. If that's how you prefer your wheat beer, that's fine with us. You know, as long as you enjoy the beer, it's okay to put that slice of lemon or orange in if you so choose. So that's authentic German Hefeweizen. We're going to move on to our next beer, and we're going to progress from German to American and then to Doug's surprise. But the next beer we have is it's a German-style Hefeweizen, and it's a collab between one of the oldest breweries in the world, Weihenstephaner, in Germany, and Sierra Nevada, an American brewery. So it's a perfect segue as we progress in from German to American styles and explain the differences. But this will be a German style, has collaborated with an American brewer, so I'm really anxious to try this. Kudos to Chris Cook at Merchants Fine Wine in Dearborn, Michigan. He recommended this when I told him we were doing a wheat beer episode. This is called Braupackt, Braupackt. Braupackt Hefeweizen beer, brewed under the purity law of 1516. It's 6% alcohol by volume, 6.9-ounce bottle, a collaboration between Weihenstephaner and Sierra Nevada. So let's go ahead and get into this, Pete. It's got a really healthy, probably at least a two-finger head, lots of nice carbonation. That's typical of a wheat beer to have a nice big... And it's a snow white, you know, real bright white head, real healthy, lots of carbonation. The beer is very similar in appearance, maybe a tad lighter, more golden, like a straw golden color. But again, it's cloudy and hazy. You cannot see through it. It actually would remind me of a New England IPA. It's clearing up, so it's a little bit clearer than I thought. But let's take a whiff of this. It doesn't have as strong of an aroma as the other one. Taking it down a notch. So maybe this is a perfect progression from the German style with a little bit of a less of a yeast flavor to it. So let me taste this here. Let's see what we're going to get because I do not have that strong yeast aroma. It's kind of a cross. Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of hop bitterness. It's not nowhere near that of an IPA or anything, but there's definitely, it's a perfect progression from the all yeast to now like some yeast, but not real strong, and some hops, but not real strong. So I can see where this could be a good compromise between the two styles. And it's nice that they were able to collaborate and brew this. I think it still tastes more German than American. American is usually just a clear, clean wheat beer. This has German characteristics, but certainly not nearly in the level as the first one. So it is. It's kind of like a hybrid, both styles.
Yeah, JR, I'm tasting it, and the more sips that I take,
the more hop influence I'm getting on the palate, and it is a very a pleasant bitterness, a nice drying bitterness. What's the ABV, does it say?
6.
It's a little higher ABV than the first one we had, and it does dry my palate out very much so. And I do get, it does have a nice piney, you know, American hop impact in it. There must be a Sierra Nevada influence coming in there from somewhere, trying to Americanize this German Hefeweizen wheat beer style.
Yeah, there's nothing on the bottle. We can maybe look this up, but yeah, it's definitely some characteristics of the American and the German, which is kind of nice to have that. So yeah, really interesting beer, and does say I knew that Weihenstephaner was one of the oldest breweries, if not the oldest continuously running brewery in the world. Pretty sure it is, but it does say since 1040 on the label. I had no idea they were that old. I mean, that's a thousand years worth of brewing history, folks. That's a long time. So I originally was going to get one of their beers, but again, Chris, thank you for the recommendation. This is really perfect for this episode to showcase characteristics of both. So Pete, I think, has found the description, so let him talk about that.
See if I can do this. So they worked on a formula together, but it is a Hefeweizen beer that uses the Hallertauer tradition hop strain, but they gave it a twist with the addition of U.S. Amarillo and Chinook hops. So there we go. We did get an American hop influence in there. It has, to me, a much finer... you know, I have to struggle to pick out any of the more yeasty characteristic than I did with the first beer we had. It's much lighter bodied than the first beer and lighter colored. And I don't get a lot of the characteristics of the yeast and the malt. I get more of a hop, you know, real hop punch to it. It's very good. I like it for a difference.
Yep. Definitely be good when the weather turns and gets a nice 70, 75, 80 degree days. These will be great to sip out on the deck and enjoy these. So good warm weather drinking, easy drinkers here. Now, we do have an American wheat we're going to review, but I have a feeling that our other compadres on the podcast are probably really dying of thirst. So I'm going to turn it over to Chris next. What do you got for us, Chris?
I got some local flair, if you will, sort of. It's from an Iowa brewery out of Des Moines called Exile. I have a beer called Hannah. It seems, looking on their website, a lot of their flagship beers are named after women. Don't know why. Going to read from the website. It says, which, first of all, I'm perplexed, because the website says it's 5.2 ABV, but the bottle clearly has 6.0. Maybe it's a new formula? I don't know. But Hannah is a Bavarian wheat-style beer. Bavarian-style wheat ale, according to the bottle. Unfiltered, which, yeah, when you pour it, it's got a little cloudiness going, like the New England IPAs. But it's still, you can still see through it. But, yeah, definitely, you know, if you're used to a straight-up kind of wheat beer style, it's definitely a little cloudier than what you're probably used to. 12 IBUs. So, yeah, if you're looking for a mouthful of hops, this ain't going to be it. Reading from the website, it says, intense aromas of clove and banana give way to mouth-watering citrus flavor in this unique brew. German wheat and malt come together in a meticulous decoction mash to make a distinct and refreshing beer. A lifelong friend of Exile, Hannah is outspoken and independent and the perfect embodiment of our Bavarian wheat. And taking a sniff of this, the banana hits you right in the face. I mean, they are not lying. That's pretty much all I can really smell. Banana, yeah, I can touch teeny tiny touch of, you know, floral at the end, which I'm guessing is the hops in here. But taking a sip, the mouthfeel, I mean, the head is, it's bordering on creamy, dare I say. But the mouthfeel, I'd say it's a little slightly over the middle you know, somewhere, you know, getting towards the thick side of things, which for me, for wheat beer, it's, I don't think I've ever had this before, but, and then the taste, I mean, I've always said on this show, for me, if as advertised is probably the best thing I can tell you about it. I mean, in this state, it's, well, the brewery wrote the description and they're dead on. I mean, it's banana, it's a little bit of citrus, and it's all delicious. So, Exile Brewery, Hannah, if you see it, pick it up. I'm willing to bet our friend Lieutenant Dang probably has a little bit more access to this than the rest of us. But, yeah. Right. It's my first Iowa beer, and I'm guessing it won't be my last.
Not necessarily a bad beer state. There's an iconic brewery out there called Toppling Goliath that hopefully you'll get to find some of their beers in Decorah, Iowa. I don't know if that's Decorah on your radar, but it's called Decorah, Iowa. But certain some of our listeners have heard of. They make some very coveted, highly rated beers. So
yeah, just
if you
just
see
look
anything
for,
from Toppling Goliath, grab it.
Just look for Pseudo Sue.
Thought I'd mention
the dinosaur on the can.
Yeah, thought I'd mention a little bit, you, Chris. The words you used there, I think you were reading from the label or from the website, was decoction mash.
Yes.
And just being a home brewer, thought I'd clarify that just briefly for our listeners. When you brew a beer that has a lot of wheat grain in it, usually these beers are, I think, right around, you know, up to 50% wheat. You know, wheat is a different grain than barley and has different characteristics. So when you add hot water to it to mash the grains, you want to bring it up to a certain temperature and hold it so that you can extract and convert all of the starches into fermentable sugars in the grain. Wheat, when you use a lot of wheat in your brew, and some of our home brewing systems, as primitive as they are, you know, can tend to get stuck or gummed up. And a lot of times using wheat grain can give you a real gummy mash. So what you do with a decoction mash is you take out some of that wet grain and transfer it to another pot and heat it up and then pour it back. Once it's heated up, you pour it back into the original mash container. And you do that, you know, you can do that a couple of times. And that helps keep from getting a gummed up mash, and it helps process that wheat grain a lot better. Doug, if I didn't say any of that right, help me out. I know you've probably had some beers with wheat in it before.
Yeah, and you just kind of nailed it. You know, usually the amount of wheat that I put in the beers that I'm making is a lot less to where, you know, decoction mash like that isn't really necessary. It could help out. But yeah, you nailed it, dude.
Yeah, I've done it, and I was successful. I was very pleased with the result. And it was something as a, you know, I'm a long-time home brewer, but I've only really done the decoction mash once, and I guess I got lucky because it worked.
Well, and it's a lot of work. It is
a lot of work.
Strenuous work to transfer weighted down. You know, you're already dealing with, what, 10 or, you know, 15 pounds of grain, and then you add a bunch of water to it, and you start transferring it back and forth. Yep. Yeah, that'll use some muscles you're not used to using, that's for sure.
Yeah, it keeps you busy. Plus, in your mind, you're always thinking, you know, am I hitting the right temperatures? Am I going too fast, going too slow? So it's a process. I just wanted to mention it. Sorry for all the technicalities, but this is a show about beer. And since we are all home brewers here, the three amigos here, I thought I'd mention it.
Nothing wrong with becoming edumacated, right?
While I was mumbling.
All right, well, speaking of mumbling, Doug must be just dying of thirst, although I have a feeling he's probably halfway through his offering. So even though we have a traditional American wheat beer and it's far off from what he's going to have, I think it's his turn. So take it away, Doug. What do you got there?
All right, yeah, I went in a little different direction. Hefeweizen's real high content wheat beers with, you know, kind of that German type wheat technically or typically don't agree with me, and then I can end up getting headaches if the wheat content's too high in a beer. But so I steered away from heavy Weizen, and what I have is a it's actually a sour, and it's from our friends over at Speciation Artisan Ales. They're in Grand Rapids, Comstock Park to be exact. We had reviewed some of their beers on the sour episode way back when, and thought it'd be a good time to sort of revisit them. This beer is called Phylogenetic, and if you Google Phylogenetic, just be prepared to, like, I don't know, that's some pretty heady stuff. but the beer is named that. It's a Fooder-aged Solera sour ale with tangerine. So Fooder being a very large wooden vat, it's pretty critical in the making of sours. A Solera is a type of, I guess it's a beer that you keep adding to it and keep adding to it, and then you take some out, and then you add to it again and take some out. It's just a continuous process. It's not like you brew a beer and you finish it. It just stays in this sort of state of fermentation and aging. So it's really an interesting process. I'm not going to go into all the nuts and bolts of it. It's very technical. So I'm just going to just kind of pour this beer out here, and it's pours a very light orange. I would compare this color to a mimosa, champagne and orange juice. In the nose of it, you get some really nice, bright funkiness to it. Definitely get the tangerine big time. And those are really the two main aroma characteristics. It pours with a really fizzy head, but that dissipates almost immediately. There's no lacing on the glass at all. And if you think of the most sourest glass of orange juice you've ever had in your life, this would be it. Not sour in a bad way. I mean, it's just sour. Like, this wouldn't be a good beer to, like, cut your sour teeth on at all. This thing just punches you in the face. Tangerine flavor is beautiful. The flavors just sort of ooze out of this beer. I think it's magnificent. It's really highly tannic, so a lot of grittiness on the teeth. Finishes sharp, and that tangerine flavor just hangs out forever in your mouth, and that's really nice. Really, really nice. From what I can understand, these guys are doing fantastic. They're just finishing up a tasting room, finally. Getting some statewide distribution at some Michigan bottle shops. I got this one at our friends over at Market Square, Birmingham. JR is a big fan of that place. As am I recently. They've really upped their game in the beer department. So, fantastic beer. Just if you get a chance to check out anything from Speciation, I'd do it. I mean, these guys are doing phenomenal work.
Absolutely, and if you recall, on our sour episode, we actually sampled Genetic Drift Batch 1 before they even opened. We were very fortunate that they got to obtain a bottle from a friend of a friend who knew Mitch, the brewmaster. And that was a great beer, and we kind of discovered them before they opened for business, and they are thriving. They were a big... There was a big buzz about them at the Great American Beer Festival last year. They're one of the hottest things going here in Michigan, and it's great what they do. It's also great that they actually do not even make their own wort. They source the wort out, and then they take it from there and ferment it out and work their magic on the wort. Really a great story. Go to their website. They have a blog. Mitch is very open. Easy to talk to. You can reach out to him on social media, and although he's a busy guy, I'm sure he would get back to you. But just one of the great success stories here in Michigan, a Michigan brewery that's really blowing up and doing great things. So as Doug said, if you are able to find any of these on shelves, grab them. They don't last long.
Yeah, and the wort they use is made from all locally sourced grains. It's all Michigan grains. They use as many Michigan ingredients as possible. I've had sort of a dry hopped IPA version of a sour last week from them. It was just really, really incredible. Very clean tasting, right to the point of what it is. Just beer after beer from these guys. They just knock it out of the park every time.
Yeah, one more thing I want to add, something really interesting that they're doing is they have actually producing a series of beers with yeast wild yeast harvested from each Great Lake. I can't remember the name of the series, but I know that they're highly coveted. So what a great idea to take wild yeast from each Great Lake and form a beer from that particular yeast strain that they harvested in the wild and from each lake. So really cool stuff they're doing, and really just good people and great beers from Speciation. So kind of jealous that I'm not there and trying that with you, Doug. I haven't had that one, but if I see it, I'll
yeah,
be
you know,
one.
It's a big old bomber, and it's coming in at 7.9%, which is pretty up there for a sour. I like that aspect of it, but yeah, I could use a little help on this one because it is sour, and it's hard to just drink a lot of it real fast because it is just it puckers your face up.
I found the name of that series that John J.R. is talking about. It's called the Laurentian series, named after the watershed in which the Great Lakes reside.
Yeah, so
we lose Pete?
Yeah, I think we lost them.
All right.
Okay.
We're back here. Cool.
Look for those beers. Look for those Great Lakes beers, the Laurentian series. Wouldn't it be great to collect all five from one from each lake? But, then I was thinking, why collect when you can just drink them up?
Yeah, just drink
them. Brewers brewed them for you to sit and collect dust. So collect them all, but drink them all. That's my advice. All right, so we actually have two more beers, but I think we're probably only going to drink one more. So let's go ahead and open this. We finally have a true American wheat beer from Deschutes Brewing. It's called Deschutes American Wheat Ale. So pretty basic there. Look at this. It even has pouring instructions on the bottle. Pour 2/3 into a tilted glass. Swirl remainder around bottle. Finish pour and enjoy beer in all its hazy glory. Get all that yeast out of the bottom. So let's do that. So Pete and I are here going to share this bottle from Deschutes in Bend, Oregon. Although I believe they are going to someday open another brewery in Roanoke, but we have a hipster tipster story shortly to share with you about that. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pour this beer. Nice bubbly carbonation, but the head is like about a half a finger, not nearly as big and frothy like the German ones, and it's dissipating. But you can see bubbles rising from the bottom, so there's a nice healthy carbonation. But this is more like it's a light straw yellow, very very light in color. You can see through this. There's a little bit of haze, but you can see through it. This looks more like an American, easy to drink, like a yellow beer, like a cream ale or a lager. Let's go ahead and taste this. It's very light yellow. The aromas, more American, more hops. Pete says yeasty. It actually smells a little bit more like the traditional American lagers that we drink, although it's not a lager, it's an ale. But I'm going to go ahead and taste this. Easy drinkable, malty, just light, very light. It's just like it really does remind me of just an easy to drink lawnmower beer. Not a whole lot of flavor, not a whole lot of bitterness. I don't know, what's the IBU on this thing? Okay. Let's do a little more research on this. But the American wheat ales, I have some information in front of me.
What was it?
25 IBUs, so a little bit more than the Germans, but not too much. It's just an easy to drink. Now, I'm on a home brewing site, and I'm looking at the difference between American wheats and German yeast. I'm going to read this from a post that I think is relevant. It says, American wheats don't have too many esters. They are neutral. You could even brew one with California ale yeast. For the German Hefe, you definitely need German yeast. Some brewers tend to describe American wheats as bland, boring beers. That's why most have some spice or fruit added. It's just a real easy drinker is what it is. It's really doesn't have a lot of flavor. Doesn't have a bad flavor, but it's just a light, easy to drink. You know, you can crush a couple of these.
Yeah, I found it to be somewhat yeasty on the aroma. But you're right, it's very light, clear, mostly clear. The head dissipated quickly. And then this beer is just, you know, probably the lightest beer I've had in a long time. Let me just put it that way. So, lightest bodied, very, you know, straightforward and crisp and clean.
Yeah, I would actually say that, you know, it suggests maybe adding, you know, a fruit to it or something, spice it up, because there's really just not much flavor to it. You know, I'd have to say after tasting, you know, the broad spectrum of wheat beers tonight, I prefer the German style. I just think there's a little more flavor, a little bit more complexity. I think the, you know, American wheat beers are just real simple. Now, that being said, you could easily convince somebody, especially in the hot weather months, somebody that's a Bud Light drinker or a Mick Ultra drinker, or, you know, somebody that just drinks a, you know, a common American mass-produced macro beer, to try one of these, and they would probably be like, wow, this is better than what I've been having, and not like that saying much, and but it would be a good gateway beer to get your Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light drinker interested in craft. So, you know, nothing that's lighting up the scoreboard, but it is what it is. It's brewed to style, and it's what an American wheat beer is supposed to be. Light, refreshing, and easy to drink, and it does meet that standard.
Yeah, I usually have been able to tell the difference. You know, if you blindfolded me and you put a couple of these kind of wheat beers down next to some regular ales that are made with mostly barley, the wheat does lend a very unique flavor profile to the beer, and it is discernible. And I think after a couple of tries, anybody who is new to it would be able to tell the difference as well. Hey, I wanted to give just a recognition to one other one. We don't have it here tonight, but it's one of my favorites, and that's Frankenmuth the Hef, which is a Hefeweizen. And I really like that beer. I didn't buy it to bring it here tonight because I think we've covered it before on previous episodes. But if you like Hefeweizens and you want to try some additional ones other than the ones we talked about tonight, try Frankenmuth Brewery the Hef. It's got a little wiener dog on the front wearing a smoking jacket, and it looks like Hugh Hefner smoking a little pipe. So it's kind of a corny label, but that's part of the fun of trying all these beers too.
Yeah, and one more shout out. I mean, American wheat beer, and I think this is the one that really took the style to new levels, which is Gumball Head from Three Floyds. That's a phenomenal wheat beer, and I think we mentioned Oberon as well.
Most definitely.
Yeah, some great Midwestern beers that just nail that American wheat style. And two very different beers from each other as well. You know, Oberon is just, you know, super easy drinking, and Gumball Head just packs that hot punch, and it does it very nicely.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, well, as I said, we do have one last beer. We're debating whether to taste it. We probably will, just because we're not really going over on time. But I do have a few hipster tipster stories, and certainly if any of you other beer nuts want to chime in with your own beer news, please do. But I'm going to just go right into the Deschutes story that we were talking about earlier. Deschutes has a plan to open a brewery in Roanoke, and they were supposed to close on their property by, I think, beginning of April. Well, there's a story out that came out yesterday, April 17th. It says Deschutes reworks plans for Virginia Brewery. It says 2 years after announcing plans to build a $95 million secondary brewing facility in Roanoke, Deschutes has hit the pause button. And it goes on. I'm not going to read all the details, but it basically says that they have
put those plans on hold, but they claims like that they've decided to buy the property instead of taking some incentives to buy it. Doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a red flag to me. I think there's been a lot of pullback. The bubble's close to bursting on craft breweries that distribute because there's just so little shelf space and so many offerings now that the market's flooded. So this may be a red flag that maybe they're balking on their plans, or maybe it's just they needed a little bit more time. Not sure, but I just wanted to bring it up. We just tasted one of their beers, and I do enjoy several of their beers. It's a great brewery from Oregon that you know, it makes sense for them to open a brewery on the East Coast. It's all costs an awful lot of money to transport beer all the way across the country. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully this is just a small hiccup and they're going to still move forward with these plans. But, I mean, we had a story last week, I think, or the week before, that Green Flash is having financial troubles and pulling back on withdrawing from states. And, you know, we'll see. You know, the end of this article actually is favorable. It says we predict the first year will sell just under 200,000 barrels at their Roanoke location. So hopefully the positive stuff in the article is accurate and it's just a slight delay, but we'll see. But I just wanted to bring that up. It was one of the big stories. Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
Right, you. So JR shared this on Twitter today, and I really enjoyed reading this article. It was very interesting that, you know, with this week, here we are in mid-April, coming up on 420, and to some of our listeners, that might mean something. A lot of theme beer releases and beer parties going on Friday, 420, having to do with the cross between great craft beer beverages and cannabis. And so the headline that we saw said that the feds recently now were coming down on a couple of South Florida breweries to stop producing cannabis-flavored beer. A couple of these breweries were brewing some beer with a key ingredient known as cannabis terpenes oil. And apparently, they didn't do all the upfront due diligence as far as testing the terpene oils to make sure there wasn't any psychoactive ingredients in it, which there normally isn't, apparently, I've learned, in these terpene oils. But the feds are like, hey, you can't just go ahead and make that beer without us checking out the terpene oil first. So kind of a buzzkill for those guys. But they're kind of playing around, and I think a couple of the breweries down there are saying, hey, what the heck, we've already brewed the beer. We're not going to waste good beer. They're probably going to have their parties anyway and, you know, go from there. So more power to them. You know, it's not a beer that's going to get you high from the THC. It's just going to be a beer that tastes like cannabis. And to a lot of people, that's an interesting thing. And I know I'd like to taste it. So, but that was a cool headline. And for any of you out there this this coming weekend, right around now, having your 420 themed parties, enjoy responsibly and enjoy some great craft beers along with it, too.
Amen. Chris, do you have anything to add to that? Is your expertise in the Weedsman podcast?
No, well, it sounds
you
like
could just
I'd,
say you
something
prefer
I'd want
to
try.
Smoke your... Okay, fair enough. You might want to try those. Okay.
Maybe we need a dank episode coming up.
Dank episode. Hey, on the same note, I just picked up a couple bottles of Waldo's from Lagunitas. One of that's a kind of a dank 420 related deal, but so look for that in your market. And last but not least, unless there's some other stories from the other beer nuts, I wanted to mention dear to Chris's heart is Bell's Brewery out of Kalamazoo has expanded distribution to 6 New England states and New Jersey. So Bell's Beers will begin selling beer throughout New England and New Jersey, expanding its footprint to 39 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. So they're going to be partnering with 11 beer distributors across Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New Jersey. So they're just about national now. We should be playing that ZZ Top. We're bad, we're nationwide, right?
Man, I remember when Bell's came to Detroit, and I was juiced about it, and that was shit. That was like a decade plus ago. I mean, I remember I could only get it when I was in Kalamazoo. I remember to hit Detroit. So, now East Coast, 39 states. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I can remember Larry Bell driving a van of kegs to a restaurant bar I managed on the south side of Chicago. And he would bring the kegs down in his van and then sit at the bar and buy anybody that ordered a Bell's beer or buy the beer for anybody that ordered a Bell's beer and just run it up. People were like, wow, this stuff's great. But I think back then he had a lot more alcohol in his beers. I mean, they've sort of dialed it in a little bit. But yeah, there were some crazy 10 percenters, and people are used to drinking Bud Lights, you know, Miller Lights. Made for some fun evenings.
Well, if there's one regret in this episode, we really should have had an Oberon. So, everybody listening, if you're from Michigan, it's almost like the opening of spring and the Tigers getting ready to play ball. It's a big deal here, Oberon Day. They usually, you know, kick it off at midnight. You can go to your local pub and get one at midnight. And that was a couple weeks ago. But, you know, the spring really hasn't arrived anyway. But not to slight Oberon. And I know a lot of, you know, craft beer geeks are not that big on Oberon because it's not a, you know, a snobby thing to drink. It's just an easy drinker that everybody can enjoy. And it's out in these parts, it's the wheat beer. It's the wheat beer to drink.
I did my part. I'm not slighting Oberon at all. I've already put down a 15-pack on my own, so it's been very good.
Well, apologies to local rep Ross from Bell's and to Bell's. We owe you one for not having Oberon on here, but maybe we could just say that it's on another level of its own with the wheat beers. But definitely had to bring that up. So we do have one final offering. And before we end hipster tips or any other news, Dugout or Chris, you have anything to add? If not,
not really.
All right. Well, as you finish up your beer, we're going to pour one last beer because I did purchase this for the episode just in case we needed it. And sometimes you just got to say, what the heck? So, hey, what's one more beer when you're drinking 5%ers, right? So I am going to open a can of Maui Brewing Company. It says limited release. Maui Makawao, 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 wheat beer. It says a hoppy pale wheat ale brewed with Denali, El Dorado, and Motuka hops for a tropical fruity flavor. 5% ABV. It's got the independent craft brewery. So, yeah, hey, we got it. I don't know if we've ever had a Hawaiian beer on here. So it does say
craft beer. We almost had two.
Oh, because really?
I was looking at a beer from Kona Brewing. The title was Something Wheat.
Okay, well.
And I almost grabbed that.
By the Evil Empire, just so you know.
Oh, well, see, it's a good choice to not buy it.
So I debated whether to try this, but I tasted it before we decided to put it on. It's actually very tasty, but I would argue to say it really doesn't meet any of the criteria of the wheat beer. It's kind of almost more like a pale ale, but that's not a bad thing because I just poured it. This one is as clear and as light yellow as we've had. It's a light straw, almost as clear as like a Coors Light or something. It does not look like much, so it's very light, very. And I'm sure it's for the hot climate in Hawaii. It's probably perfect, but you definitely get a nice, really strong, hoppy, pineapple-y smell. From those hops, there's this by far out of anything we've drank tonight, the most hop presence, which is why I decided, hey, let's go ahead and review this. So I just tasted it, and yeah, you got all that nice, flavorful tropical hops, but you're used to having something to balance it out, you know, that big malt balance out with a nice hoppy beer, and you don't really have that here. It's just like bursting with hops, and there's like nothing to support it. It's like, so I'm not saying it's not enjoyable. It is. You get that hot flavor, but it's like a very light, you know, no malt backbone to speak of. It's just it's all hops and in your face. And I don't know. That's what I'm getting out of it, Pete. What's your impression?
Yep, it's very light. The clearest beer here tonight.
and very bright white head. I got pineapple immediately on the nose. Mm. Yep, definitely a hop influence right up front, followed by an interesting combination of fruits, some juicy fruits. Much different, kind of almost a little tobacco-y flavor to me, actually. Kind of interesting combination, but it's not unpleasant, but it's different than everything we've had here tonight so far. I've never had one of these, so I've always passed, for some reason, I always passed the Maui by. I haven't seen anything sticking out to me, but I'm glad we got to try this.
There was another one that I almost purchased. It was a pineapple one that actually had pineapple in it, but I didn't think that was really a good option for this podcast. I figured it would hide the wheat. So this is just a very light, you know, again, I don't think that there's enough malt here to support all that hops. But, hey, it is very flavorful, and, you know, it was a nice option after all these beers we had that really didn't have that much hops. So for hop heads, you'll probably like it, but, you know, it is what it is. It's you could crush a few of these. I mean, it's not a strong beer, and it's very, very light. So for a hot day in Hawaii, I bet you it tastes fantastic on the beach.
Which, yeah, we could use some of that beach weather.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. You ain't kidding.
Whenever,
man. I mean,
whenever you're ready, winter, you take a hike.
I'm telling you. And
yeah, well, Kauai's getting pounded. You know, they had overnight, I think last night, they had 35 inches of rain on Kauai. And everybody's getting flooded out, so... And it's not always paradise in paradise.
All right. Well, that was a nice cross-section of different beers. We had a nice tart sour there. We had a hoppy beer at the end. And I kind of go back to our beer of the week when we used to do that a long time ago. And I'm not saying we need to revive that, but I have to go back to the first two that we had, the Authentic Germans, as my two favorites. Probably the first one. I really like that authentic German yeast, you know, that bubblegum banana clove that just kind of jumped out at me, you know, something I haven't had in a long time and that I've kind of missed. I'm glad I got reintroduced to it again. So it's really a treat sometime going back to these styles that we sometimes forget about and overlook. Any other closing comments, other beer nuts? One's at a loss for words. I guess it's time.
If you see Exile anywhere, pick it up. I'm very impressed with this beer.
Way
into my gullet.
Same with the speciation beers. I mean, you see those, pick them up.
Amen. So, all right. Well, one quick plug. I promised Freddie the Pizza Man. I would remind everybody in the Detroit area. He has a great sports podcast about all of Detroit sports. So go to ChristopherMedia.net and seek his podcast out if you're a Detroit sports fan. Also, if you ever get to Melvindale, Michigan during the day, his pizza's to die for, his New York slices, and he makes a mean goulash, too. And so support
I might have to
go ahead.
I might have to go meet Freddie because... I'm engaged to an expert on the New York pizza. So,
she grew up
in Jersey. So,
I can tell you the secret. I hope you like pepperoni, but he's got the curly pepperonis with the grease bowls that they curl up, and there's a little bit of grease goes in there, and they're concentrated. It's not like the pepperoni you get at other places, and not to disparage any other pizza joints. It's just it's a different style of pepperoni, but. Whenever I see that, those curly pepperonis do it for me. So, just wanted to give a shout out. Freddie does a lot of great work for autism, and anybody listening, please take the time. If you drink any beer or soda in cans, save your pull tabs and mail them into him or find somebody to get it to him. You know, you can go on his website, FreddieThePizzaMan.com. He has a charity golf tournament that I'll be playing in this year. I played in it last year. Does some great, great fundraising for autism. And it's a small thing you can do is save all those pull tabs, put them in a plastic bag when it gets full, and it takes a while to accumulate those things. You'd be surprised. But if you do it now and you wait till his tournament's in August, he takes all those and gets them recycled and uses that money for the charity. It's a really great thing he does. He's been on local TV for his efforts. And a great man, makes great pizza, and is very passionate Detroit sports fan. As many of you know, I'm a Philly guy, so I can't really identify with a lot of that. But no one knows Detroit sports like Freddie. So have a listen. Go to ChristopherMedia.net. He's part of our network here. So there's my plug for you, Freddie. And the only thing I have to say from that is that we really got to get a pizza and beer episode where we collaborate with him at some point. We'll make that happen maybe after summertime's over.
Hammer that out. sounds like I need to be in that golf tournament too.
Absolutely, and we can have actually Beer Nuts sponsored a hole last year. I paid for two hole sponsorships, and one of them I had Beer Nuts logo up. So yeah, absolutely. Let's get our ducks in a row for that. It's really a fun time, and it's for a great cause. That's about it for me. Anybody else closing thoughts? Well, one thing about wheat, we had some, wheat beers aren't strong, but next week we're going in Doug's direction, and this will be a tough one to find beers for, guys, so you're going to have to do your homework. But get out there and hit the stores and find a good wheat wine, because we'll be doing wheat wines next week, which will be much stronger. That's what we have to look forward to for the next episode of Beer Nuts. That'll be episode 95, and the big centennial 100 episode coming up soon.
Oh, boy.
Big plans for that one. All right, so wheat wine is next, and I think it's time to go to Mexico.
So as they say in old Mexico City,
AMF.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.